Listener production.
Simone Callaghan stands as a prominent figure in Australia's yoga community, renowned for her passion, expertise, and unwavering commitment to the practice. As a certified yoga teacher and devoted practitioner, she has earned recognition for her transformative approach to wellness. While many may recognise her as the former spouse of the late cricket legend Shane Warne, Simone's influence extends far beyond her personal connections, leaving a lasting impact on countless individuals through her dedication to yoga and holistic living. In the conversation that follows, we discuss the wellness practices that were instrumental in the healing process after her marriage ended and the death of Shane Warne. We also discuss the power of self-care and how she lost her identity in being a mother and a wife, and what tools she used to find her passion and authenticity again.
I learned a long time ago that nothing is permanent and you can't be attached to anything or anyone, because that's not life. You don't grow from that. We just got to keep showing up, and we got to keep doing the work and be in the moment and just be grateful for what we have in our life.
I'm Sarah Grimberg, and this is A Life of Greatness. Through my years of studying and researching the connection between human behaviour, personal growth, and transformation, I have discovered the keys to unlocking greatness within others. In this podcast, I share stories and experiences from my own teachings, along with conversations with inspiring guests to help you learn the simple tips, habits, practices, and strategies to cultivate an extraordinary existence. Simone Callaghan is the author of her new book, Growing with Grace. In its essence, this conversation is about the journey into self-discovery, well-being, and the art of living consciously, especially when you need to navigate life's hurdles. My hope is that our conversation allows you to help identify the blocks you have created in your own life and puts you on the path to freedom and joy. Simone, you say the seasons and chapters of my life have shaped me. Talk to us about the early seasons of your life and how you say, for many years, I struggled with my well-being.
That word probably comes from the struggles that I had of, you know, travelling the world with my husband at the time, who played cricket for Australia, Shane. Everyone knows who Shane is. And having a young family, having three kids, and just life. Life was busy. Life was hectic. You know, we were travelling the world. You know, it was a bit of a struggle with the kids because they were young and we were moving around a lot. So, yeah, there was struggle, but there was also a lot of, you know, goodness as well.
And when did well-being become such a pertinent part of your life?
Probably when I started practicing yoga, because I'd been to India and I'd seen how they live. And I wanted to experience that calm that they had and that peace that they had from, you know, within. And I don't think it's something that you can manufacture. It's something that you have to experience and have to feel. So when I read my first yoga book, The Path to Holistic Health, it really resonated with me, and I went back to Australia and I started practicing Iyengar yoga, which was what the holistic way of, you know, yoga was when I read that book. And, yeah, since 2001, I've been practicing yoga.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you visited India with your former husband, cricketer Shane Warne, 23 years ago, that was the catalyst of your spiritual journey that you write about in your new book, Growing with Grace. What was it about India that you loved? I mean, I've been to India. I spent a month there many years ago, and I fell in love with the place. I spent a long time in Rajasthan.
Oh, beautiful. The Pink City.
Yes, so nice. So nice. You know, Jaipur, Jaisalmer, into the old city, and, you know, so good.
Beautiful.
And Udaipur and all these beautiful areas.
Very special.
I mean, it was, to me, it's somewhere I want to go back, because when I started my spiritual experience very intensely, visiting India was years before that. So I wonder for you how it kind of struck a chord.
I don't know how it struck a chord, but I remember hearing the chanting from the hotel, and for me it just resonated like deep within, but it brought me to a feeling of the practicing yoga. Like, I sort of correlated the chanting with yoga. So that was why, when I was in India, I went and bought a book because I thought that, you know, that's what yoga was all about. It was all about, you know, chanting and all that spiritual sort of enlightenment and peace and calm within. And that's what I was feeling that I wanted, you know, so much in my life, and to have that balance of feeling, you know, calm and having some space to practice and just in solitude. So when I came back to Australia, that's why I searched out an Iyengar studio, and I just started practicing and I fell in love with it. Yeah.
There was a time where you felt, you write in the book, that you kind of lost your identity within being a mother and a wife, which is very common. And I wonder what it was that you did, what kind of practices to find yourself again.
Oh, it was just all the learnings from yoga and the movement, because, you know, through movement you build strength, you build stability, you build flexibility, you know, you build balance, and all those practices that you're doing on the mat, you're sort of mirroring also that's how you live your life off the mat. So you become more flexible, you become more balanced, you're stronger, you know, you feel like you're doing something good for yourself, and you're feeling calm, you're feeling more at peace, and you're sort of, you have a lot more sort of self-love for yourself because you know you're looking after yourself and you're feeling good. That's what I loved.
So beautiful. You say yoga was your therapy during your breakup with Shane.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about that and how, from a spiritual perspective, it helped you.
It just helped me sort of fall back in love with myself and take care of myself, because when you're a mother, when you're a wife, you give so much of yourself to nurture the relationship that you're in to your children. So when that all sort of, when it went the way it did, yoga was my force for good. Yoga kept me returning to the mat just almost as a daily therapy, because I knew when I got on the mat I could just let go, I could feel good, I could breathe, I could be in peace. You know, there was no one around. It was just me on my yoga mat with, you know, the other students in the class. You know, I was able to just be free and just be, you know, in the moment and not worrying about what was going on in the outside world.
That obviously was a hard time because it's such a public thing.
Yeah.
And yoga is such a beautiful practice in that sense that you come home to yourself, you come home to yourself, and you're building up your internal. So then you're able, from an external perspective, you're far stronger when things come at you.
Yes.
I mean, can you tell us a bit about that experience?
Well, the practices you learn on the mat, you're able to sort of mirror off the mat, like I was saying before. You know, when you're on your mat, you're building stability, you're building mobility, you're building flexibility. So when you come to points in your life when you're off the mat and, you know, you need to actually be stable or be balanced, you know, you've got those practices that you're practicing on the mat, and they sort of foresee, you know, you living a good life off the mat as well, and they support, you know, my practice off the mat, basically.
And I wonder, like, having kids, how has it helped you raising your children?
I'm a lot more tolerant. I'm a lot more calmer. I'm a lot more at ease with the kids. You know, I'm not so, we've got to do this, we've got to do that. I'm more of a, in the moment, especially when the kids were younger, like we just used to have so much fun. We would just be in the moment, or we'd do this or we'd do that. There was a structure because, you know, your kids have to go to school, but kids learn from experience. You can't wrap them up in cotton wool. You've got to let them go and do things and make mistakes and learn lessons, you know, if they get up to mischief. And as long as they're learning those lessons, they've got to experience things, you know. That's how they grow. That's how we all grow, you know.
Absolutely. The 4th of March 2022, your former husband Shane Warne died tragically in a hotel in Thailand from some sort of heart-related death. And I wonder, how did you navigate that?
I think we just really took time for ourselves. You know, it was a shocking, shocking time, probably the hardest experience that we've all, and my kids and his family, have had to live through. It was so unexpected. It was unfortunate that it happened in another country. So that made the process even harder because, we had to bring him back to Australia, and, you know, Jackson had to identify his body, and, you know, it was a really hard time.
And I wonder, you know, the beliefs that you have that life goes on beyond the veil.
Yeah.
Do you feel that you've had signs from him or your kids have had signs from him or anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. There's always lots of number 23s around and lots of little signs and butterflies and sounds and lights flickering. Yeah. And the kids all believe in that too. So it's really good that they're open to that and they know that, you know, he's around them in another form and he's watching over them and guiding them.
So beautiful.
He's a too big a person and energy to not still be around.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I wonder, you know, for you, as obviously that was, you know, a good friend of yours then and a former lover, but it was also the father of your children. How do you deal with your own grief but also try to guide your children through the death of their dad?
I don't know. I just did. You just, you know, as women, as mothers, as, you know, partners, we have lots of hats. Mm. So, you know, for me it was all about just keeping the kids safe and keeping them, you know, together and supporting them and just being there for them and just, you know, some days there was no words spoken but we were just together.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, a big thing for us to just all stay together and stick together and just feel it. You know, we were a close family and I think this has brought us, if it's possible to, you know, even to be closer since, you know, Shane passed and we don't take anything for granted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know life is, you know, it's fleeting and it's, you never know when you're going to take your last breath, so you've got to be grateful and, you know, enjoy life. And Shane would have wanted the kids to be living their lives. So, you know, they do that. They make a point of being grateful and, you know, finding joy in every day.
How is everyone now?
They're going okay. Yeah, they have their days. You know, it's fluid. Grief is fluid. There's, you know, he's always going to be in their life. You know, there's not a day that they don't think about him, I don't think. But, you know, they say time heals. But I think when it's someone that, you know, is a parent, it's you know, it's big. It's big.
Mm.
Yeah, but they're doing their best.
It's interesting because I've heard Wim Hof talk about, when I interviewed him, about how the cold therapy was really good when his wife passed away, and that's how he got into it, was through feeling such grief. He spent a lot of time in the cold and it was like those moments where he just couldn't think of anything. And, you know, over time of going back into the cold water, he was finally able, you know, to kind of heal himself. And I wonder, going back to that cold water therapy as well, like how that's played a part in your healing process.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, you feel really in the moment when you're in the water. You know, it really puts things into perspective because you just, you know, you're there and, you know, there's no one saving you when you're in the water. You're there and, you know, you've got to do the work and you've got to breathe and, you know, you come out of the water and you just feel so awakened and just, you know, you just feel so good and so powerful. So I guess the cold water, you know, you're really in the moment. You're sort of living in that moment and you just, yeah, there's probably a lot of correlation between the cold water, I guess, with, you know, healing yourself. There's probably a lot of healing in that ocean of water, a lot of magic.
I wonder, for you, being obviously a very spiritual person and having these practices, you know, I know for me that when something significant, even not so significant, happens within my life, my belief is that if you're doing the right things and you're being a good person, things are always guiding you in a certain direction. And, you know, a door closed doesn't mean that it's shut. It's moving you towards a different path and that kind of stuff, or there are lessons at play and all that kind of thing. And I wonder, now when you reflect on the death of Shane, why do you think that he passed so early?
I don't know. I think we're still coming to terms with that. You know, there's probably lessons in it that, you know, maybe we haven't really looked into yet. You know, it's still raw. It's you know, 2 years.
Yeah.
So we're still sort of navigating the process and getting through it. But, you know, maybe in time there'll be lessons and things we learn from it. Yeah.
Yeah. Or like you find like a higher meaning or something like that.
Yeah.
Which can be like quite beautiful. You know, if you believe we're always kind of like divinely guided and that,
yes,
that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I mean, one of our practices, you know, with yoga, you practice non-attachment.
Yes.
You know, and you have to know that, you know, nothing is permanent.
Mm.
We can't become attached to anything, you know, whether it be somebody or something, you know, it's all, you know, it's all evolving, it's all moving, everything is,
yes,
you know, there's always obstacles, there's always suffering, but you can't be attached to anything. Because nothing's permanent.
It's interesting, isn't it? I often talk to a lot of Buddhist teachers about that, because Buddha always says that human suffering is attachment.
Yeah.
And obviously understand that concept, but it's hard. It is like
hard. Yeah, especially if it's, you know, someone you love, if it's a parent, of course you're going to be attached.
Yes, absolutely. Do you feel you live a life that's quite present knowing those practices?
Yeah, and I have for a long time. You know, I learned a long time ago that, you know, nothing is permanent and you can't be attached to anything or anyone, because that's not life. You don't grow from that, and you have to learn that things happen for a reason, and, you know, we're all going to have different journeys, and sometimes those journeys finish and you take another path, but you just got to remember that we just got to keep showing up and we've got to keep doing the work and, you know, be in the moment and, you know, just be grateful for what we have in our life.
Mm. It's true. I was talking about it with a friend over the weekend about, especially this year, of like not holding on too tight to anything and just having the trust and belief that everything happens for me, not to me.
Yeah.
And be that with people in my life or whatever it is. And then I think it allows like a much better flow because you're not resisting.
No resistance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you have that faith that things are working for you, not to you.
Yes. And you've got to have faith, don't you? You have to have faith in the universe or, you know, that there's something better coming.
Yes, exactly. Even though
something
you may
to
not,
look
you
look
know,
forward to.
Yeah. There's a beautiful saying where, you know, we must live life looking forward, but we only understand it looking back. And that's just so true. But we have to keep on moving. So I think that's really important. I wonder for you, what is your favourite prayer?
Just to be grateful. Gratitude.
Hmm.
Just be in the moment and just, you know, if I'm having a bad moment, I just think you can't have a bad moment. You've got to be grateful for what you have. And I sort of look around and, you know, think about my kids and I'm so grateful, I'm so blessed. They're just such divine little creatures that I just love them to bits. So I've always got something to be grateful for.
That's beautiful. What is your greatest mystical experience?
There was a couple of times, wasn't long after Shane passed, where we were down at a beach house that we all used to spend time down at. And we felt his presence. Like it just, we knew he was there. That was pretty mystical. Like we were in a room and the sounds, the lights were flashing. When we'd walk past a part in the house, it was all cold. It was a really out-of-body experience for all of us. Yeah.
Wow.
That's probably the closest form of something that was, you know, wasn't there, that was there.
Beautiful.
That not only I but the kids experienced as well.
Wow. What is a life of greatness to you?
Staying strong for my kids.
Simone, you've got your beautiful book, Growing with Grace, which is such a wonderful, wonderful read. It's full of so many things for everyone to be able to enhance their wellness journey. Thank you so much for the beautiful conversation today. I am so grateful.
Thank you. Thank you, Sarah.
If you've enjoyed this episode, then I'd love you to join my community on Instagram at Sarah Grimberg, where we post videos and behind-the-scenes footage of each recording. You can also join my private Facebook group, Live Your Life Greatly, where we discuss the content in this episode and many more, as well as give advice and tips on how to live a life of love and meaning. To purchase my manifestation course and meditations, head to the shop tab at saragrimberg.com or this week's episode show notes to find a link. If you love what you heard, we'd love you to hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favourite podcast app and leave a 5-star review. It will help us share this wisdom with others.